It's Taking the Lead with Ray Gustafson.
WSJM.
He's the best looking guy on the show.
I swear, Doug, I do not cue that one up to play right when I introduce you in the morning.
That's okay. The guy has sight challenged.
That's little known.
Nobody knows that. Yeah. He's a great voice on the radio and everything, but he has a problem with vision.
Face for radio. That's what I've always said. Good morning, my friend. How are you?
Good morning. Happy Friday.
Yeah, I know. It's every week we say this. Oh, it's been a long week, but I'm glad we're here to Friday. So, and I'm glad that we have, if you just heard the forecast there, some cooler weather coming in because I've been talking to a lot of people and I've seen a lot of Facebook posts about people complaining about how high their electric bill has been this summer because of the excessive heat that we had. There was a couple of people saying, oh yeah, my electric bill is like $200-$300. One lady said her electric bill on Facebook, she said it was $585 for 1 month.
Yeah, something sounds wrong there. Well, you know, we have an interview this morning that had, kind of fits along that line about costs of energy and the plan for how we're going to get energy for the next several years. There's something called integrated resources plans. Utilities have to come up with them. Utilities file these plans with the Public Service Commission, laying out their plans for providing basically affordable, adequate energy needs in the coming 20 years or so. And environmentalists have been involved in this process, trying to get them to go more towards sustainable energy, green energy, in these integrated resources plans. So I reached out and spoke with John Richter. He is the policy analyst and also on the board of directors of the Great Lakes Renewable Energy Association. And he was speaking here specifically about DTE, Michigan's largest utility, but INM here in our area wanted to go the same process. So let's give a listen to what John Richter had to say about environmental perspectives on these plans.
So tell us about your concerns, first of all, just sort of frame the issue that you're concerned about when it comes to the Public Service Commission considering these utility companies, their rate increases, and their green policies or lack thereof. What are you concerned about in this process?
Yeah, so the case that we're involved in right now is the DTE Integrated Resource Plan, and we recently completed Consumers Energy's Integrated Resource Plan case. And an integrated resource plan is a set of documentation in which utilities lay out how they're going to meet the demands for electricity across the next 5, 10, and 20 years in the most cost-effective manner, considering all the stakeholders involved. It's a wonderful opportunity for transparent exposure of what our charter monopoly utilities are up to, how they're trying to meet our needs, and get input from the public on, you know, what direction we think they ought to go. Go ahead.
I was just going to say that as I read the press release that was put out today, I saw a quote from you in there, and it jumped out at me, and I wanted to ask you about that. It said that DTE's IRP is consistent with a century-old monopoly that's stuck in traditional solutions. Is this really about the not having enough concern for the environment, for renewable energies, and you say that the assumptions formed in this overall plan are faulty and mired in the past? I'd just like to give you a chance to elaborate on what you meant with that particular quote.
Sure. So we have Public Act 341 and 342, which require the utilities to up the amount of renewables that they build in their network, and of course both utilities are complying with that. But if you compare and contrast the two, Consumers Energy has opened bidding on all of these facilities to third parties to build, own, and operate the plants, where they simply buy the electricity from the plant. Whereas DTE's plan is they're going to own and operate everything. And that's really what I meant. Yes, this was the traditional role of the utilities, at least certainly prior to 1978. And they really seem stayed in that old course of action as revealed in this plan of theirs.
It seems stunning to me, reading what I have read about climate change and the environment and how the overwhelming scientific evidence is there. There's a clear need, it seems to me, for our planet for renewable energy. sustainable energy and not to be mired in the fossil fuel past. What is it you'd like to see as this process unfolds to ensure that these utilities and the PSC are taking climate change and environment, sustainable energy, and positioning ourselves seriously for that kind of future?
Yes. So the primary way that the utilities consider climate change in this process is by saying, you know, how much cost would there have to be associated to emitting a ton of CO2 for it to kind of balance out with other resources? And, you know, DTE's assumptions were fairly modest, as I pointed out in my testimony. But they're, in terms of the environment, I mean, their emphasis is really on compliance. They comply with this rule, they comply with that rule, as opposed to what's really good for the people in their service area. We have people, you know, downwind of these coal plants that are suffering the health effects of breathing the air. And that doesn't seem to be a consideration. So DTE plans to continue operating their enormous Monroe coal plant through 2040.
That's a long time to stay with a coal-fired plant. It looks to me like, too, that there's another issue here, obviously among many probably, but one of the issues is the amount that people are given for the rate for using solar panels, for example. They're supposed to get credits. Traditionally, as I understand it, it used to be at market rates for what the utility charged, but DTE got that cut in half approximately, right?
That's exactly right. That was a prior case. So, you know, part of the 2016 energy law directed the Public Service Commission to establish a new tariff for customers who are generating their own electricity with solar, sometimes wind systems. Prior to that, if you sold your electricity back to the utility during periods of time where you were generating more than you could use, you received the full retail rate. So it was an even net metering, right? The net of the kilowatt hours on your meter. Meters could sometimes literally spin backwards. Now, that was limited in at least two different ways. One is that you could only use across the course of the year as much power as you were, you could only produce as much power as you were using, right? So you couldn't become like in the energy generation business. That wasn't part of the idea. And additionally, the total amount of such generation was capped to about 2% of the utility's peak demand. But that just wasn't enough for them. They really seemed to view this as a threat to their business model and sought changes. And yeah, now if you're generating your own electricity from your PV system as the sun is shining on it, the rate you're getting from DTE is only about half the rate that you have to pay them when you purchase their electricity.
And for our listeners here in Southwest Michigan, I mean, DTE is the biggest utility in Michigan. We also have I&M going to go through the same process. So as you look at what these plans need in terms of substantial revision, what can you share with our listeners about what you guys in the environmental movement would like to see here?
Yeah, well, certainly we want a better deal for the people who have invested in generating their own power on their own premise. We think that has a myriad of benefits for the community, for the economy, and for the electric grid and the other grid users. And half of retail rate with a cap on it is not a reasonable bargain. I&M is also proposing an even worse deal in their proceeding, and we are going to be addressing that. In terms of the larger, you know, IRPs, we really think that solar and wind are now the cheapest ways to generate electricity. Consumers Energy recognized this in theirs and said they aren't going to build any more fossil plants in the next 20 years. DTE recently got approval for an enormous natural gas plant, and their IRP suggests they may want to do more of that in the future. And we think that that's just not the right future for our communities.
What really needs to happen here is a plan that protects both people and the planet, and not just protecting the utilities and their interests. Is that fair to say?
Yes. The utilities, most of them are investor-owned, and it's understandable that their executives are looking out for, you know, the returns that they can pay their shareholders. But it is the duty of the MPSC to look out for the interests of the rest of us.
And that was John Richter. And that last line is really important. By the way, Richter is policy analyst at Great Lakes Renewable Energy Association. But that last line, that it is the duty of the Michigan Public Service Commission to look out for the interests of the rest of us, that's kind of key to the position that these environmental groups are taking. And that is that we need to look toward a future where we have cleaner, more affordable energy. And their position, at least, is that DTE Energy and its integrated service plan would hold back that transition to a cleaner, more affordable energy.
Also, some good information there. So, we, like you said, we don't have the details on I&M's IRP proposal quite yet, right?
That's right. We do not. But they're going through the same process, and the environmental groups will weigh in on that as well. And they tell me, the environmental groups are saying, John Richter told me that I&M's proposal is worse, in their opinion, than DTE's is in terms of sustainable energy and the integrated service plan. So we'll keep our eye on that as that unfolds and follow that for our listeners, too.
Awesome.
And we'll be looking in more into solar energy in Michigan and how it's growing. It has been growing, but there have been some problems as well. In the future, stay tuned for more news about how Michigan is beginning to transition, at least, to more sustainable energy.